Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Starting up shows again, talking about Tien Do. I've now finished my book. That is a retranslation and reinterpretation of a great deal of, well, most of the Book of Revelation, and also, of course, includes all the references to Jesus' prophecy in the Gospels, and somewhat references to the lost books of the Bible, and the Nag Hammadi Library, and the Dead Sea Scrolls, and the Old Testament prophets that Jesus referred to, and what Moses wrote. And so I'm going to start off with the front cover of my book, which actually I wasn't ready for. I am. And that reads, "This little book provides the backside evidence showing how all Jesus' prophecy, revelations, are fulfilled by those who were known as Tien Do, the Father and Jesus, Heaven's Gate, UFO Two Witnesses, who returned incarnate with their saints from 1972 to 1997, prophesied in the Book of Revelations, termed by Christians as the Second Coming, from the physical evolutionary level above you, God, in heaven. Hello, sorry for the delay there. I had to take an emergency phone call. Anyway, so his memory, from the physical evolutionary level above human, the kingdom of God in heaven, whose membership wear physical vehicles, bodies, grown on a vine that human bodies are designed to resemble, to work within planet-sized spacecrafts like Pluto and Ceres that serve as laboratories for their Earth soul-growing garden experiments, that incorporate the negative influence of the Luciferian space aliens, also known as the fallen angels, so prospective new members directed by incarnate older members may overcome the human evolutionary kingdom, to graduate into the next level kingdom in the literal heavens." Okay, so that's the cover of my book. Now, the back cover of the book lists the points. I introduce it like this. Well, I've already introduced it, kind of, so I'm not going to go through all that. But the points are, starting with, Father and Son both reside, dwell with, abode with their students. And I'm going to go into that in detail instead of just skimming over all the points. And this comes from John chapter 14, verse 22 to 23. But it starts actually talking about it in John 14, 16, where Jesus is speaking to his students, saying, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." Now, a comforter is an unseen helper, an advocate, "that he may abide," which is from the Greek word meno, "remain, tarry, endure, dwell with you forever." Now, I want you to take notice that that meno, the Greek word meno, means remain, tarry, endure, and dwell. In addition to what the word that was used as abide. Now, there's a another word that's associated with that word that we'll be talking about later that actually means reside with. And it's the root of this word Nino, which I guess I should say what it is. And that is the word moan, M-O-N-E, which means staying, abiding, dwelling. But it means that, but it also infers mansion, abode, and residence. And that's the only other place where this is used, is where Jesus says that he's going to leave and he's going to prepare, that he's got many mansions in his Father's house, which was the word moan. So it means dwelling places. So one is a noun, moan, and the other one is a verb, which is very important to understanding this. Amino is a verb. Okay, so the next verse says, so basically he's saying that he's going to have a comforter dwell with him, in other words, abide with them as a verb, not a place. Then he says, I will not leave you comfortless, and that means as an orphan. I will come home, I will come from one place to another, what that means, to you. Which is a literal coming to you in a physical way, which is spelled out a little bit more later. Then he says in John 14:19, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, which is perceive me, because I live, ye shall live also. I mean, it was in Luke that Jesus said that when he came, when his kingdom came, when the royalty came, which was his Father and him, that it would not be observable by the eyes. I'm not going to go through that verse right away, but that's because he's coming incarnate. And yes, he comes with the sign of the clouds, and he comes from the heavens, which is the sky, from outer space, from the deep heavens, from wherever they're dwelling at the time, wherever their mansions are. And their mansions are planet-sized spacecrafts, because it's a physical kingdom, and they created the Earth as a physical part of that kingdom to be a stepping stone into membership in the level above human. It's actually an evolutionary step, just like it's even more of a gap than there is between an animal and a human. As like a plant to an animal is like the gap. So humans are actually plants as well, and that is throughout Scripture as well. Anyway, so then he goes on to say in John 14:19, yea, a little while the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. I guess I read that one already. Because I live, you shall also live. Live also. He's saying you shall live also. So he's talking about life was not in the physical level. No, it was not in the human level. So there's a physical level, because a soul is also a physical being, a physical entity. It's like a pocket, and that's why Jesus compared to it as a seed that is planted, but all those seeds don't germinate. Some of them get eaten by the birds, which are the space alien fallen angels. But I won't go into all that right now. But so at that day, he says in John 14:20, and that day means sitting time. It means end time. It wasn't talking about a 24-hour day in this context. Ye shall know, understand, and perceive, because you're not going to know it by proof that the human vehicle would determine is, the human body would determine is proof. That I am in, and that also means with and by my Father, and ye by with me, and I by with you. So in other words, the disciples were going to understand that and perceive it much, much better when he came back, because they didn't really understand what he was talking about when he was talking about the Father. So Jesus is saying that at the end time, there will be a different experience than he was having at that time. And that's because the Father was going to be with him, and the Father was a mystery, like I just said. So John 14:21 then says, "He that hath my commandments," which means prescription, orders, charge, precepts, "and keepeth them, he it is that loveth pleases me. And he that loveth pleases me shall be loved pleasing of my Father, and I will love him." I will be pleased by him. "And will manifest," which is the Greek word emphanizo, which means inform, appear, show self, come to view, disclose, declare, make known myself to him. So he's obviously talking about a different circumstance of making himself known to them, but it was going to be similar to the way he made himself known to his disciples, and they recognized him right away without any proof that he was who he was. They just knew him because they were prepared to know him, because they were actually souls that were taking over those physical bodies, and those physical bodies were implanted with those souls when they were born. And so they were nurtured to be ready to receive him when he came. It's all very practical and very commonsensical, even though we can't see it and understand it. Then in John 14:22, it goes on to say, "But Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest," which is the emphasio again, "thyself unto us and not to the world?" So how was he going to appear to them, but the world wasn't going to see him? That's because he's coming undercover. He's coming in a human vehicle again, so that the world, as they did 2,000 years ago, didn't know that it was him. Didn't know that he was the Messiah. But they would know, because why would they know? Because Jesus answers and says in John 14:23, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." And abode there is that Greek word mon that I talked about before, that is rooted in meno, the verb. So, but it's the place. It means it's the place. It's a noun rather than a verb. And it means dwelling place, mansion as a building, as a place, as a environment, as a territory, as a geographic location. That was planned, and that's what the New Jerusalem meant in one context, having both, because all prophecy, I can feel safe to say, has multiple applications at multiple times for different circumstances that people can understand to different degrees, okay? It's all designed that way so that because it appeals to different humans at different times, so that all humans that have been prepared can respond according to how they were prepared. Some humans are not ready yet. They haven't been prepared to receive the full truth, which Jesus demonstrated and he talked about, how he spoke in parables to some people so they wouldn't understand what he was saying to the disciples, who could understand more. Because if he had spoken to them all on the same level, then if it was parables, then the disciples wouldn't know what he was talking about more accurately, and so they wouldn't be brought up in their lessons. And then the ones that weren't ready for the lesson plan of the disciples, if he spoke to them the same way he spoke to the disciples in their lesson plan, then they would be baffled completely, and they would have thought him a lunatic completely, And he might not have even been able to finish his task because they would have run him off so fast. They already had a hard time with his storytelling. And, of course, you can see that they wanted to kill, the priests wanted to kill him right from the beginning. But they weren't allowed to kill him until he was done with his task, which was told to him when he went up to the Transfiguration Mountain. Anyway, then he goes on to say in John 14:2 that in my, I mean, it's a different place, but it has the same understanding. That in my Father's house, home, household, family, dwelling, inhabited, edifice, property, which is the Greek word oikia, are many mansions, which is the meno, remain, tarry, endure, dwell, but in dwelling place, as a dwelling place. If it were not so, I would not have told you I go to prepare a place for you. So he's preparing a place for them that is also a physical place. I think that's about the end of, or maybe I've got a minute left. And he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, place is actually from the Greek tapos, which means a room or a quarter or a city or a village or a station or an opportunity for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In other words, he was preparing a place to be on his crew on a spacecraft. Whether that spacecraft was on the surface of a planet or was inside a planet, like Tiendo talked about, that Pluto might have been a spacecraft, and Ceres appears to be the temple in heaven. If you've looked on the web for everything that's been discovered by the dwarf planet Ceres and all the lights and the tower of lights that are on that planet that look like Las Vegas from the sky. Anyway, so I'm going to have to end the broadcast there because I'm just doing these little short little 15-minute broadcasts. So I'll talk to you tomorrow or the next day when I can. Thank you. Good night. I don't know if it's running over. I used to run over. I used to do these broadcasts a long time ago. Or maybe they let me continue to talk, but they don't record it. Maybe that's the way it works. I guess I'll find out when I play this back. No, I guess I won't know that either because it won't be recording. Anyway, so good night.